And it's Tuesday, June the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2012. In fact, that's a really kind of interesting date. We'll talk about it in a moment. And you're listening to Law and Gospel here on KFUO, a ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And you're talking or listening to two ministers. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with me is my very good friend.
Hi, Tom. How you doing? Pastor Mark Smith.
Oh, good. I was going to
say. At your command.
Pastor, hi.
Yes.
Well.
Beautiful summer weather, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is. Almost makes you want to go play tennis. Today's an interesting date when you write it out. We're in June, which is the sixth month.
Six, yeah.
And what's two times six?
12.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's 6-12, and what year are we in?
12.
Yeah, so it's
6-12-12. Okay, what's so significant about 6-12-12?
It won't come about for another century. Okay, so here we're taking a look.
A whole other century. Well, I guess it's safe to say neither of us will live to see that, huh?
Oh, I think I might be alive if Judgment Day comes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I wonder if there's going to have calendars in heaven.
All that you want.
Oh, yeah.
If it takes a calendar to make you happy, Tom, it'll be there.
Okay, thank you, Pastor Kuroshi. That's his answer to anything when somebody asks about that. What's it going to make me to be happy in heaven? Well, I'll tell you, he was just tending his flocks by day, and all of a sudden, he was anointed to become king of Israel. And we're talking about
David.
David the shepherd boy, which is the Sunday school lesson for this coming Sunday.
Yes.
And it's kind of interesting what they do with this. They have three passages. The first one is when Samuel goes to Jesse, who is David's father, to anoint him as king. The second one is about Goliath. And the third one, which we'll spend a bit of time on today, is Psalm 23, which is a psalm of David.
Which David wrote, right.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
interesting selection.
Yes. So let's just kind of examine. The first portion is 1 Samuel 16:11. Would you read that, please?
And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here."
And that's the entire passage that we are to look at.
Yeah.
But, of course, the context is very important. Jesse, who were the young men?
Well, Jesse, the young men are his sons.
Yes.
And, of course, he had lined all his big strapping sons, his oldest sons.
Yes.
And, the runt of the litter, you know, the youngest, the smallest, he's not going to be interested in him for king. So he had all his big strapping sons lined up, and surely one of them would be the choice that Samuel would make. Well, that's... You know, I remember seeing the story entitled "God Looks at the Heart." You know, He doesn't look at the outward appearance. He didn't. He had a different person in mind for king.
So he chose somebody who would commit adultery with Bathsheba instead of one of the big boys who might not have.
Adultery and murder.
But
he was a shepherd.
Yes.
A man after God's heart.
I would just question a little bit whether, God chooses people on the basis of their heart. Why would he have chosen Saul Paul?
Am I reading something in the scriptures? Doesn't it say David was a man after God's heart?
Yes.
Doesn't it say that expressly?
There's no doubt, but what Christian isn't? What believer isn't? Wouldn't you say Jesse was? And the rest of his sons?
I would hope so.
Yes. One of the things I like to say is when somebody says or asks, "Why did God choose me?" my answer always is, "I have no idea."
Yeah, right.
We really have no idea.
I don't either.
Of course, you could be making a good distinction between choosing someone for salvation, where there's nothing in you.
Yes.
And choosing a saved person for a particular task.
For the king of Israel, right.
Yeah. So you could be quite right on there that David had a wisdom and some attributes that maybe other sons didn't have. And certainly taking care of sheep in the way he did, didn't he fight
he
off a bear?
Yeah, he was very brave, courageous young lad. He'd fight off a bear if a bear attacked, or a wolf.
Well... The theme I'd like to talk about today, because we're going to see it everywhere here, is God really doesn't make any sense. You're going to have to explain that, Pastor Ben.
Yes, you are, of course.
Well, what I mean by that, he chooses just the very opposite of what you would expect. Like Saul's a good example.
Right.
You're looking for somebody who can be an apostle to the Gentiles. The least you would think is you would choose a believer, and second, you would choose somebody who's a Gentile. Instead, he chooses one of the top Jewish Pharisees of the day who's not a believer.
Yeah, Pharisee of Pharisee, Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, yes. Yeah. Trained at the feet of Gamaliel, steeped in Judaism.
Gamaliel, one of the great teachers
of
the Pharisees.
Jerusalem.
Yes, I kind of make up this story. I had a roommate at one of my colleges, and we both went out on a date, and when we came back, I had actually gone out with Louise, and he had gone out with someone else, and I said, what'd you think of the date? He said, oh, you won't believe it. This woman, her hair wasn't washed. Her breath smelled.
Come on, Tom.
No.
Come on.
No, let me finish. No deodorant on or anything. And so I looked at him and I said, well, what are you going to do? And he says, I can hardly wait to go out with her again. And I use that story because when God first met us, we had no deodorant on.
Yeah, that's
we smell
right.
like anything.
Yes.
In fact, God is the very opposite. You and I, we looked for what we consider to be some of the one of the best looking women around, and then we decided to date them. God does the opposite. He dates ugly people and makes them beautiful.
Well, you mentioned Saul. Now, when you mentioned Saul, I was thinking at first you meant King Saul. Think of that choice.
Yes.
Now there, God picks a likely choice. He's a head taller than anybody else.
Right. Right.
But God surprises us in that he ends up choosing for the first king of Israel, who you'd hope would be a good example
right.
to future kings, someone that ends up being a miserable failure, and even you have to question as to whether he died a believer.
Exactly. In fact, though, would you say that God did that on purpose? No. The people didn't want God to be their king anymore. They wanted to be like other people.
Right.
And so they had a understanding
yes.
of who they wanted to be, the king or president of their country.
Yes.
And so God, okay, I'll give you exactly what you're looking
yes.
for.
You get what you want.
And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to like it.
Exactly.
And they said, no, we have to be like other nations. And so Saul, started off good. It's not that he
yes.
was an unbeliever when God chose him. But there's no doubt things just didn't seem to work out. In fact, in a sense, the Lord really equips us for the work that we have to do. Let's go back to the phone lines at 505-7850 or
1-800-730-2727.
And talk to Lil. Hi, Lil.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Very good. How can we help you?
Well, Pastor Baker, you took the wind out of my sails. I was going to say that the Lord equips us with whoever.
Oh, well, that's absolutely correct in the area of vocation. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Vocation, yes.
Yes. How
this
would
is
you?
Where he wants us.
Yes. For example, that's why everybody isn't a salesperson or everybody isn't on the assembly line or everybody isn't a pastor, because we have different gifts.
Right,
as part
like
of the body
of Christ.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You might as well come on and host this program. We're thinking so well alike right now.
You're taking the words right out of his mouth, Lil.
I am. But you know what? I also kind of find it interesting. You know, Joseph, the 12th, one of the patriarchs,
yes.
Jacobson. It's interesting because when you read the event or the, what they call it, about Jacob, and then they bring up Joseph. And Joseph was kind of neat because he dearly loved his earthly father, and he trusted his earthly father, and he liked to manage. He appreciated managing his father's estate, so to speak.
Yes, his possessions, yes.
And then when he was taken from his father, it kind of, the Lord is, his heavenly father kind of took from there that relationship. See what I mean? And he developed him in the purpose of that second in line to Pharaoh.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because he had the managerial and the love of his father, and so the Heavenly Father, you know, grew him up in that position.
That's right. In other words, God was preparing him ahead of time.
Right.
For what he needed to do.
Right.
You know, there are promises in the Bible like that, that God is kind of watching over your life in order to equip you for what he wants you to do. And that's why there's all different kinds of gifts in the church. Would you agree that God accomplishes, say, great things by honoring us in the sense that he uses us?
Well, is it that we honor him by following, by using those gifts that he's given us?
Yes. Here's
we're honoring him.
Yes. For example, God doesn't want your good works handed
no.
to him as a way of getting to heaven. But
right.
he wants your good works to go to your neighbor. And in fact, he works through you to give your neighbor the good works.
And Tom,
exactly.
it actually says that he has prepared beforehand the
right.
works for us to do.
Ephesians,
exactly.
yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
And it's a real joy to be that the Lord uses us in that vocation.
Yes, well said.
Yeah.
Well, I sure thank you for co-hosting today.
I'll come on over.
Oh, come on. Anytime, you're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Baker.
God bless. And we're just going to move on down to Neil. Hello, Neil. How can
hey.
We help you?
Hey, yes, sir. Hey, you know, you've helped me out so much. I've listened to you for a long time. What a God's pleasure it is that you're able to help me over the radio. I mean, you're just a beautiful man. I mean, a lot, you know, God inspired. And I just want to say, anyone in Christ is beautiful, you know.
Now, that's really correct. We may start off ugly and sinful, but once we're in Christ, are we not beautiful, Mark?
I hesitate a little bit there, Tom.
Yeah. Oh, man, you're human just like me, bud. You're all right.
Yeah, thank you. That's why Mark and I are on the radio.
We're on the radio.
Not on TV.
Yes, sir. I love you, man.
I get your point. And by the way, Neil, part of the lesson here of the Sunday school is that... God doesn't want us thinking that the things that we accomplish are done by us, but instead by him. So when you applaud Law and Gospel, you know who you're really applauding is the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir. So much so. I mean, that's the only way I can get up on my feet every day. And I got up on my feet for the last 30 years.
Yep. I sure appreciate this call, and God bless
God
you.
God bless you, Neil.
Yes, thank you. God bless you both.
Very
man.
Kind
you
words.
You both helped me, Mark and
Tom.
And Tom.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
Okay.
I love you.
We care for you and a lot, too.
It's nice to get those calls, you know.
Yes. In fact, I've paid four people to call again in the next 5 minutes, so we'll see if they come through.
Oh, yeah, right.
On that. You know, sometimes it's hard not to have a big head as a pastor.
Oh, boy, you aren't kidding. I mean, and God usually takes care of that. You know, we get to think, you know, we fall flat on our face. And,
well,
I'll tell you, you know, that is true. I mean,
because things happen in the congregation that you know you were very instrumental in doing, but in reality, it was the Word of God.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you were just his instrument in using it, and apart from that, yeah, I always...
I tell you, you know, we should be praying every day, you know, that God doesn't let the success that we do have in the ministry go to our heads. I'll tell you, it's because we see... You know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. We see a lot of people fall.
That's why, yes, you're correct that David had a heart after God, but I think that David was chosen because he was the least likely, and it would be obvious in everybody's mind that God gets the credit. Instead of choosing somebody who people thought would be able to make it and do it, no, instead he chooses David. And in fact, the next section really touches on that, and that's Goliath.
Well, yeah, you know, he was a courageous
yes.
young kid, you know. I mean, he was just a kid. Everybody said, well, you're just a youth.
Yes.
And he didn't...
Well...
He tried to wear the armor that Saul gave him, and it didn't fit. And
what did Goliath
say?
Goliath,
you know, you read the statistics about Goliath. He's about 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
He's got the spear. Have you ever read that? Where the spearhead was something like 18 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, think of that. That's how much the spearhead alone weighed. I mean, he was huge. And this kid is let me at him. You know, takes, what, five smooth stones out there?
Exactly.
I mean, it's a great story.
Do you remember what Goliath said to him in specifically when he saw David coming?
Didn't he say, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks or
well
something?
Well said, yes. And the Philistines just made a lot of fun of him, but not once he fell dead. Now, where's Jesus in all this? Because we can't go through a Sunday school lesson without finding Jesus.
Well, Jesus dealt with his own Goliath. Well, sin, death, and hell.
Yes.
You know, he conquered them.
And he did it by means of an instrument that was just as ridiculous as was a slingshot.
Yeah.
What was the instrument he used?
Well, a cross. But I was also going to say the smooth stone that he rolled away from the tomb, too.
Or the angel did.
Or the angel.
Because he was already gone.
Right, you're right.
Yeah, the angel rolled away the stone in order to show he had already left.
That's right.
But I think this is really important. Who would ever think that by a cross...
An apparatus of death.
Yes. That would be the instrument by which Satan is defeated. Who would ever think that by a slingshot and five stones that Goliath would be defeated? By the way, did we ever talk about why there's five stones?
Oh, I've heard that story. I can never remember it.
Yes.
I've heard it before. What is it now? Do you remember?
Yes, and this was from a professor.
Why he took five stones?
Yes. One for Goliath, and then Goliath had four brothers.
That's right, he did.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
I remember
named.
Reading that.
Yeah. Well, it's just in the Bible.
They were from Ashkelon?
I'm not sure of that, but...
Or, no, Goliath of Gath.
Yeah, Gath. G-A-T-H.
It was a Philistine area.
Yes.
And he had four brothers.
Yeah, and they would carry, you know, armor and things like that for him. And
I'll tell you, when Goliath fell to the ground...
Oh, they ran.
And he cut his head off, the Philistines just ran. They just turned
exactly.
tail and ran. Because they were so stunned.
You see, that's what happened to the devil at the cross.
Well, that's what Jesus, when he descended into hell.
Well said.
And showed all
victorious.
Satan and his men how he had dealt them a death blow.
So you could, and remember, what's the relationship between David and Jesus?
Well, Jesus is his descendant.
Yes. Yes.
His greater son.
His greater son. And so he's of the tribe of Judah.
Judah, right.
Yeah.
Judah.
And so, Revelation talks about that at length in chapter 5, you know, explaining the slain lamb who appears.
Yeah. Who's the lion of the tribe of Judah.
The lion of the tribe of Judah. And, of course, nobody would think that a carpenter from Nazareth would be the King of Kings, Lord of Lords.
You know, the shepherds were at the low level of society, too, you know, which is kind of ironic.
Well, you know how low they were. They were not permitted to come into the temple because they were considered unclean.
Unclean.
And so who does God make the first witnesses to the birth of Jesus?
The shepherds.
The shepherds. And the second witness is the Gentile. Kings.
The kings.
He doesn't even talk to the priests. And King Herod is
Herod doesn't even know where he is.
No. He says where. And they look it up and say, well, in Bethlehem.
In Bethlehem.
They get it from the book of Micah. And so he tries to put to death all the children of, 3 years and younger. Somebody guesstimated how many children that would be. Do you know?
Oh, I've heard it said maybe 15 or 20.
Yeah.
In the vicinity.
That's right. There weren't that many. But, I mean, it
but
still
a significant
was,
number. A terrible thing.
Death of the innocent.
That's right.
You know, time and time again, God just doesn't make any sense. From our point of view, commonsensically, if you're going to send somebody out against Goliath, you get your best soldier who has got lots of armor. You know?
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny how that I kind of like watching this lizard towing, it's called, and they go around and get repossessed cars. And they came to this one place, and a little guy come out, you know, but he was karate. And the lizard guys, who they're really big, you know, the one guy can just put
tough
some...
guys.
Yeah,
and
really
the repossessors, as you
That's
say, right?
Exactly. And that little guy did about three kicks, and both of them were on the ground. He jumped in his car and whipped away.
Some of those little bandy rooster types are pretty tough.
Boy, you just don't know.
That's
But it's the first time I ever saw him beat up, the big guy, you know. Now, with Goliath, the fact of the matter is that David, who is, you know, Jesus is his descendant, you get a picture then of the cross. Because nobody really thought, isn't this man Joseph's son, the carpenter?
Right, right.
You know, nobody was thinking at all. And God just does this again and again. I've often said on this program, you want to know how God thinks, think commonsensically, then reverse it, and you'll be close. So he rises from the dead. So who do you think would be the first witnesses? The priests?
Yeah, no. It'd be great if it was the whole Sanhedrin there.
Yeah, know? Exactly.
That would have been terrific.
But it wasn't.
But it was a bunch of women.
Who aren't allowed to be witnesses.
That's right.
In court.
Yeah.
Talk about God just taking things and just flipping them around, you know, in ways that you wouldn't. And, of course, thinking that he would be born King of Kings, where do the wise men go to find him?
To Bethlehem.
No.
Well, wait a minute. Oh, they go to Jerusalem, of course. First they go to Jerusalem.
Yeah, right. And instead he's not born in the castle, he's born in the cowshed.
Yes.
You know. I mean, in a sense, it reminds me of Isaiah on the mountain. And he hears thunder and lightning.
Yes.
And what does God say?
He says, not in the fire.
No.
Not in the thunder.
Earthquake.
But in the still small voice
yes.
comes the gospel. Yes.
Comes the gospel. And that reminds you of Romans 10. Faith comes
by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
And see, that's what's important about KFUO. We may not have, we're not really well known. We may not have a lot of wattage here going out all over the world like other stations like KMOX, 50,000 watt. We're only 5,000. But now with the internet and people starting to download programs, if you go to KFUO.org, yeah, they'll help you download to your iPhones and other things so you can hear us as you're walking around. I've got a bunch of friends in California, for example, who, because of the movie
right.
I was involved with, listen. Now, whether they do it every day or not, I don't know, but I still get emails from them. And so you can be anywhere now in the world.
Isn't that amazing?
That's just really amazing. That can occur.
The founders of KFUO 85 years ago, wouldn't they be thrilled to know that?
Right. And KFUO is the oldest existing
continuing
religious broadcast studio in the world.
Pretty amazing.
Yes. And
thanks be to God.
Who knows when you and I are here 50 years from now, you know, how much older it's going to be.
That's right.
Oh, you don't think you're going to be here 50 years?
If the Lord comes, yes.
Yes. Well, if the Lord comes, even the studio will be destroyed probably with that new heavens and new earth coming about. And I just can't imagine just having all the white castles you want, you know, and not, you know, eating bad food. It'll be good food, you
yes.
know, because, well, who knows who the cook is going to be. But when we get back from the break, we're going to go to one of the most important things about David, and that's Psalm
23.
Exactly.
Right.
And if you'd like to phone us, don't hesitate to do so. Numbers are 505-7850 in St. Louis or in North America.
1-800-730-2727.
You're listening to Pastor Tom Baker and Pastor Mark Smith. As we're examining the Sunday school lesson for this coming Sunday, David the Shepherd. Please stay with us through the break.
Breaking the law to kill girls.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Sex selection abortions are supposed to be illegal in India, However, a recent Times of India article shows that the practice continues. The article focused on a 36-year-old woman who had 6 abortions because each time she was carrying a female child. Her husband and his family insisted she have a son. The deaths of these 6 unborn healthy girls were made possible by doctors who illegally provided her with ultrasounds without reporting those ultrasounds to the government. Fortunately, the woman in question informed the police, who in turn arrested the doctors.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Nearly 3 million members look to Thrivent Financial for Lutherans to help them achieve their financial goals. Nearly 3 million people who know that Thrivent Financial is committed to excellence in their financial service and caring for others. Get to know Thrivent Financial and the quality products and services we can offer you. I'm Kelly Brickner, your financial representative with Thrivent Financial in O'Fallon, Missouri. Call 636-695-4110.
AMA 50 KFUO is underwritten in part by Reliable Heating and Cooling, with a showroom in the Mid-County Trade Center, 8463 Delport Drive. Reliable Heating and Cooling features Lennox air conditioning and furnace systems and services all brands. Reliable also provides senior discounts. Reliable Heating and Cooling, serving you from North, Mid, and West County exchanges. The next time you call Reliable at 423-3535, please thank them for being an AMA 50 KFUO underwriter.
I'm Roland Lettner. Coming up on Wednesday's Ask the Pastor program, a very special opportunity for you to meet the new managing director of KFUO Radio, Pastor Rodney Zwanitzer. He'll join me in studio with our operations manager, Gary Duncan, and you can ask questions about the operations of KFUO, our programming, any thoughts and ideas you may have. That's next time on Ask the Pastor at 11.
Exclusively underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, on KFUO Radio.
The KFUO Radio Datebook is a public service that keeps you informed of what's going on in your community. Your church or nonprofit group can share an announcement with KFUO Radio listeners on AM 850 and KFUO.org. Just send the details via mail to Datebook, KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email me, Buzz Ulrich, at buzzu@kfuo.org. These announcements run at various times throughout the day on KFUO Radio.
When your teenager wants to do something that you don't approve of, it's your job to establish and maintain the boundaries. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. As moms and dads, we need to remember that we're accountable to God for our parenting, not our child. Here's Angela Thomas.
The thing that keeps me motivated to be their mom, to be their protector, is the Lord. I mean, I tell my kids, I am afraid of the Lord. I have a reverence for the job He's given to me. I have to stand in front of Him one day and give an account of how I protected you. So you roll your eyes or you stomp your feet or your friends feel frustrated, I don't care, because what matters to me more is pleasing the Lord with how I am parenting you.
Today, ask God to help you make wise decisions for your kids. He cares about them even more than you do. For more trusted advice, stop by focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
Tom Beaker and Pastor Mark Smith back, talking about David the shepherd boy. We examined both his being called, which was very unusual since he was the youngest son, and then his defeat of Goliath, which was very unusual since I don't think any of the Israeli soldiers even wanted to fight Goliath.
No, his brothers, in fact, he came and said that, you know, Goliath would daily come out and taunt the army of the Israelites, you know, and, you know, say all sorts of blasphemies against their gods and everything. And young David comes along and he says, what is it, this guy? Why, how can you let this guy get away with this? You know, how come nobody's stomped him yet? You know, and then his brothers kind of, oh boy, kid brother, you know.
I just want to read the section where Goliath says to David in chapter 17, verse 44. Goliath said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you," and you would think he would say, "with five stones."
Yeah, no.
But he doesn't. "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied."
Yeah, right.
"In fact, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you."
It's a pretty bold claim.
That's certainly
to tell a guy that's 10 feet tall.
And that's why the first line in is really an interesting line that we really need to explain, and that's Psalm 23, verse 1. Just read the first line.
Let's see. Okay. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Is that the line
yes.
you're talking about? Yes.
Now, don't you ever want something?
Well, sure.
So the Lord is your shepherd.
I went without lunch.
You went
I'm
out.
Hungry right now.
Oh, okay.
But I know he'll provide.
I don't know, because we haven't given out the address here at KFUO so they can bring you in White Castle. today's Tuesday. Sometimes churches has two chickens for a dollar. Boy. Well, anyway. So what does this mean? It says, "I shall not want," but we're always wanting.
He provides for me all I need. He does. We know our Lord.
Well, there's
Lord
lots of stuff
shepherd.
I need he hasn't provided.
He's given you what you need, not necessarily what you want.
Oh.
He knows what you need.
So
let me tell you, there's a lot of things you want, Tom, that he knows you don't need.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What are you, my counselor now? But no, you're making a good point. That when it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," that's a bad translation. Because the word actually means to be lacking what you need.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound as good as...
Well, no. But...
I mean, look. You know, the Shepherd Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, you know, it's one of those... It's one of those things, almost like the Lord's Prayer. People don't like you tampering with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Even though, because you don't tamper with it, they... A lot of times I have no idea what they're praying.
Well, that's true. It is helpful to know what...
Yeah, like, I love this one. You know, when I go to seminars, I'm always trying to get people confused, and I say, okay, what do you mean, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others"? What does that mean? And almost everybody agrees that if we don't forgive, God won't forgive. Oh, so you kind of merit your forgiveness? And then you start getting them all confused. Because most... people put another word in there, in their mind. "Forgive us our trespasses insofar
yes,
as we forgive others."
That's right.
But that's not the word I like using. I like this one. "Forgive me my trespasses just as I forgive others." Now, how do we forgive others?
We should do it. We should do it like Peter said, 70 times 7.
Well, no, not number. I'm talking about, how does forgiveness come from me to somebody?
From the heart.
No.
Okay, Tom.
Well, think about it. Because you don't have power to forgive.
Right. Of course, the Holy Spirit enables us to forgive.
That's in other words, I can forgive because of Jesus dying on the cross.
I see what you're saying.
So when the Lord's Prayer... When I say, "Forgive me my trespasses the same way you've taught me to forgive," I want to be forgiven because of Christ.
That's right. The gospel that we receive from him also empowers us to forgive others. That's exactly right.
Exactly. But more to the point is, I want God forgiving me in light of the gospel, not in light of my merit.
Right.
Or because I'm worthy of it, or because I deserve it. Because when I forgive people, they never deserve it.
Okay.
No.
I can tell by the glare on your face. You probably got somebody in mind, don't you?
Well, Mark.
You know, this psalm, this is a precious psalm, 23rd psalm. This is
every
one of those
funeral.
Psalms. not only every funeral, every shut-in call I make.
Oh, really?
Every communion shut-in call I make, I say this. I say this with them. I want to be sure that people have this locked in their heart.
Okay, the first question I'd ask you then, the Lord is my shepherd, refers to?
Jesus.
Yeah, now, you know what's interesting about this? And this was, I think, Kierkegaard I learned this from.
Kierkegaard?
Yes.
Probably the only thing we could learn from Kierkegaard.
No, there's a lot.
Negatively, maybe.
No, positively.
Okay.
But he was a German theologian sometime.
Not one of our favorites, right?
One of mine.
Oh.
At any rate...
I got to take another look at Kierkegaard.
Well, even a blind squirrel finds nuts occasionally. He taught, I'm almost sure it was him, that the Psalms are Jesus' own prayers.
Ah.
Every one of them.
He said that the Psalms are Jesus' own prayers.
Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah, and it's a fascinating...
He said every one of them, huh?
Yeah, all of them.
I've never heard that before from anyone else.
Let me remind you of Psalm 22, My God, My God.
Yes, oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's easy to see.
And when you stop to think about that...
23rd, I can sure see that.
So from Jesus' point of view, when he prayed it, the Lord was his Father.
Yeah.
Who would... have him lay down in green pastures,
right,
beside still waters, and also even with the death kind of
restoreth
thing.
Restoreth my soul.
Yeah, he restores my soul. Yeah. Now, that is a most important phrase, and I want to deal with that right now, because the original meaning of restores my soul is he brings me back to life.
Yeah, that is interesting.
It's a redemption word.
I've never, you know, it's funny. I've always, we're taught, I think at the seminary, and of course, you see this in Bible notes and that sort of thing, that the Lord's, the Shepherd's Psalm is also a foreshadowing of the Lord's Supper. It denotes the Lord's Supper.
Yes.
At least there's that opinion that it does.
Well, I mean, some of it is just obvious. You prepare a table
before me in the presence of mine enemies.
Exactly. I wouldn't go quite as far as saying it's all Lord's Supper.
No, I wouldn't say that either.
But, you see, when it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, Jesus sure seemed to be wanting things. You know, or lacking things. You know, they didn't think well of him and this sort of thing. But he never veered away from proclaiming the message purely. And that's why the Father said, this is my beloved Son.
In whom I'm well pleased.
Yes. Even though many a time people rejected his message. And this is really comforting for pastors and for any Christian who's witnessing to someone and doesn't get a good return.
Yes.
Because you are not successful when the results are good, but when the word is pure.
That's right.
That's your
task.
That
is right. That's our task. It may be very thankless.
I was just reading C.F.W. Walter in some of his devotions last night, and one of the things he says is the church is where the word of God
is preached
and the sacraments
rightly administered.
Exactly. That's where the church is. So it's not in a building or something. Tomorrow I'm going to have some fun because it's come up in a conversation I had with another pastor recently. I don't want to talk about it right now because I want to. I've already put
keep everybody in suspense.
Exactly. do we believe that baptized children, infants, are Christians?
Absolutely.
Okay, then why don't we commune them? But I don't want the answer. I don't want the answer.
Okay.
Because you got to remember, there's an entire denomination that communes them.
Greek Orthodox.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Eastern Orthodox
yes.
Church and such. So I don't know if you realize this, but our own church, our Commission on Theology and Church Relations, a part of our church that looks at theology, put out a 40-page paper on this.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow because it's a question that not many people are asking. But every now and then you hear of a Lutheran pastor. For instance, the ELCA is now communing infants.
Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So we don't want to get into it, but The point I'm making is that it's the Word of God that's going to have to make our decision.
Absolutely.
As to whether we do or do not. So when Jesus prays this, he really did not want anything. If you understand the original Greek to mean that which you're lacking. It appears from evidence or sight that we lack a lot. Like if we're sick, we're lacking health. But from God's point of view, he always looks at us from a different point of view. And sometimes sickness is a good thing to
have.
That's
right. It's sure. Yeah. As hard as that is to understand at the time, as hard it is for loved ones to understand at the time.
So you need to use an analogy. I always like talking about parents. You know, as the kids grow up, they seem to get more distant from you. They become more independent. But when do they need you?
When they're in trouble.
Yes. Or they suffer. Or they fall down. Or they scrape their knee or this kind of thing.
Or scrape the fender or whatever.
Yes. Or, yeah. Yeah, I had a 57 Mercury my dad let me drive. And it was a really nice car. And
You said was.
Yeah, I know. I was only allowed to drive it to the high school dance and back.
Uh-huh.
But in those days, you could unscrew the odometer. So we would go out drag racing and this kind of thing. And I remember one time I was on a country road, and I fell in the ditch with the car.
With the car.
And I went sideways into it. And there was water there. But it only went up halfway up the roof. And there was a farmer with a tractor. He pulled me out. I went home and I...
Oh, and your folks never saw it. Never knew the difference, right, Tom?
Well, I went home and I parked the car in the garage. And I didn't even wash it. And they walked out the next morning and boy, oh boy.
I bet.
I wasn't allowed to drive for 3 months. It just fell in the ditch. What ditch is between here and the high school? But I would always unscrew the odometer and then screw it back up when I got home. One day I had unscrewed it before I left, and I forgot to screw it back in, and my dad was amazed. He said, "You only went a quarter of a mile."
Yeah, but that was some quarter of a mile.
Well, that wasn't that same night. I said, I had a friend named Larry Merritt. I said, I just drove down to his house down the block, and we went in his car. You know, we didn't use ours. But, boy... So, you don't need my wife to know I'm a poor, miserable sinner.
That's right.
She's serving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. But there never was a time that I can think of, therefore, if you understand, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that I ever wanted anything.
Well,
I was really lacking that much of something. And it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. Now, what's the analogy he's using is sheep. Why does he have to make them to lie down and lead them? What's there about sheep?
Well, sheep tend to be wandering. One thing I know about sheep, if they wander down a path, like into a ravine,
yeah.
I am told they cannot retrace their steps for anything. They are just... You know, they're just not very smart, and they cannot retrace their steps. That's why the good shepherd in the parable had to go out and find them, because they could not find their way back to the fold on their own.
Which, by the way, that Luke 15 is, a lot of people have said, is Jesus, Psalm 23 in the New Testament.
Yes, right.
Yeah, they can't find their way back. They're really dumb, which helps you understand he doesn't lead them beside waters. He leads them beside still waters.
Still waters.
Why?
Now, you got me there. Hey.
Well, think of a sheep. What do they got on?
Wool.
If they go by a raging river and try and take a drink, guess what happens to them?
They get swept away, I guess.
They drown. Sheep can't swim. The wool is so heavy.
Uh-huh.
It just sinks them down.
Uh-huh, no kidding. So they will, if they get wet, they're sunk.
When they went to New Guinea, our missionaries, in fact, we had, I remember as a young boy in our congregation, a vicar who had been in New Guinea, they don't have sheep there. They don't know what a sheep is or are.
They do have them in New Zealand.
But they didn't have them in New Guinea.
Okay.
So they retranslated it to pigs.
Pigs, yes,
Jesus
right. Pigs can float.
Not only that, they're smart.
Yeah, they are. They're one of the smartest creatures.
So,
you ever read Animal Farm?
No, I haven't.
Read books, huh?
No, no, I'm looking at lizard towing. Okay. You know, why would I waste time with Animal Farm when I can see lizard towing?
Okay. Get back to your story then.
And it didn't show, therefore, the Christian to be really as dumb and necessary as leading, because pigs are smart in comparison to sheep. So it's better to show them a picture of a sheep. This is what a sheep looks like, and explain it. For example, there's a tremendous book out, and I think I read it when I was at the seminary, A Shepherd Looks at Sheep. And
oh, yes, Keller.
Yes, very good.
Yeah, Keller's book on Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23.
Yeah, and so there was a lot that he knew about sheep that really, and I never realized, I mean, how many times you say this? He leads me beside still waters. And you don't think that the word still is important. A pig doesn't need to be led beside still waters, but a sheep does, or else he's in danger. But the one I really like, of course, is he restores my soul, which is the Hebrew word shub, S-H-O-O-B. And it really means to turn back or to return. And you can't get a better picture of it.
Of Jesus' resurrection.
Or Luke 15. The lost sheep.
The lost sheep, right.
He puts it on his shoulders and returns it back.
Uh-huh.
That's why they say that Luke 15 is a lot like Psalm 23, Jesus' Psalm 23. And then, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Okay, how would you explain the paths of righteousness? What are the paths? Like Jesus talks about two different roads. What are those two?
Law and gospel?
The broad road and...
Oh, the broad and the narrow road.
Right. And the path of righteousness is a narrow road, because everybody wants to be on the broad road, because the broad road is law and gospel, only it's law. You know, it's law in the sense that everybody wants to be on the road where they get credit for their salvation, where they get complimented for what they're doing. Because living under the law, what you do is what moves God to like you, love you, and so forth.
When you're living under the law.
Yes.
Which is really not the wrong way. It's the wrong way.
Yeah, this next one, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Now, I've heard that explained, that one is used for defense and the other one is used for correction.
Here's how I like explaining it, because this is law and gospel. The rod is used for discipline.
Uh-huh.
And the staff is used for comfort. In other words, it's by the staff that he pulls the sheep out of the ravine or out of the hole.
Right. That's the shepherd's crook.
Yes, exactly.
And the other one is for defense, fighting off the wolf.
Or also or disciplining the sheep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Today they don't use rods and staffs. What do they use?
Probably cattle prods.
Actually they use...
Sheepdogs.
Very good. Yeah. At least in America. I'm not sure what they probably still do over in Israel. I have no idea. But that's really important. Your rod and your staff. The fact is that you have to have both law and gospel. The law is the rod of the Lord, and it is something that pastors really need to use in their congregations. Because a lot of people don't think that that's important. The rod can be, the original Hebrew word shabet means a staff or a branch or a club. It also refers to the shaft of the spear, that Hebrew word. So not the spear itself, but the staff of a seer.
Shaft.
And then the word staff, which is Mishnah, that just simply means a staff as we would understand it. You mentioned the crook.
Shepherd's crook.
Why do they call it a crook?
Because it's looped at the end.
Yeah, it's looped at the end so they can put it around his neck and bring him or guide him, this kind of thing. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. How would you explain that to your congregation today?
Well, you know, I've always thought about that. Because I've always felt a little bit... I've felt just a little bit funny when I give somebody the Lord's Supper and we recite this psalm. And, you know, we may have relatives there. We may have other friends there. The nurse may be in the hospital room.
Right.
And we're talking about in the midst of our enemies.
Well...
You ever felt funny about that?
No, because I think it's referring to the church.
Hmm.
That worships in the midst of our enemies.
I see.
So we're talking about
the midst
the world.
Of the world.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
World. The world.
And you know as well as I do, sometimes you have hypocrites in the church
sure.
who are part of the world.
Sure.
But God still gives us his body and blood in the presence of my enemies. How many times have we had worship services on television or something like that so people are looking? So I've never considered that I'm handing out to the enemies of the Lord the body and blood.
No, of course not.
No, but we're doing it in the midst of the enemies, that the church and the world, the two kingdoms that God has here, and the church operates in the midst of our enemies. That's why God promises that you will be persecuted. That's one of the sure promises that Christians receive. But persecution is always in the eye of the beholder, it seems to me.
And sometimes it's very subtle.
Not only that, but I've never felt persecuted, even when I've been criticized for... I mean, it's nothing compared to what
nothing.
Christians are going
Absolutely.
Through in other parts of the
well,
world.
Well, you know, there is... They say that there is more persecution going on today than
yes.
any other time.
That's right. That's
it's true. Hard for us to believe that because we don't... You know, we have a lot of freedom even yet.
Well, I'm more aware of it because of our missionaries through uh-huh. Concordia Mission Society in Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan. There are some real restrictions coming down. For example, we can no longer have evangelists outside of our medical vans. You know, things like that, that they're not allowing. And even here in the United States, just read on prayer.
I was just talking to some Gideons, you know, with the Gideons.
Oh, yeah,
they
Gideon
out,
Bibles.
They have to be very careful when they're handing out Bibles, like at a school.
Right.
They have to be very careful. They have to stay. Somebody was telling me we have to stand behind a table
right.
at a certain place. We cannot go out, take the initiative, and hand one out. The kids have to come to us, basically.
I don't
seems
have a problem
ridiculous.
With it. Well, no, I don't. And I just changed Bibles to the Quran.
Yeah, I know.
Or the Book of Mormon.
I know. But
I don't want Mormons or Muslims going to my kids at a public school and giving them stuff. But if the kids want to go over and look at it, I don't have a problem with that. You see, I'm also against prayer in school.
Yes, I understand.
Because
I understand what you're saying.
What is it? It's one of the cities here. It was just in today's paper. They're going to have guidelines for the kind of prayers they permit. And I guarantee you, none of them will be in the name
no.
of Jesus.
No, they won't.
No.
Sure.
And so you're going to be praying to the devil. And so it's not really worth even... You know, having a prayer.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. In fact, if they
what do you think? Just a moment of silence?
No. I'll pray. I'll say, in the name of Jesus, amen. Let's see what
you.
Happens. Yep. You know, I have nothing. Guess what? You got to tell us where your church is and what your services
are. We're out
are.
In Crestwood. Crestwood, just south of the Watson and New Sappington Road intersection. We have a Saturday night service at 5 p.m. On Saturday. And then we have a Sunday service at 9 a.m., followed by Bible class. This Sunday, I'm teaching Bible class. We're going to get into inspiration and canonicity. Should be interesting.
Canonicity?
Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, you know, how do we come to get the 66 books in the Bibles that we have? That sort of thing.
And that's at what time?
The Bible class is about 10:30, 10:25.
Tom Baker, tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.
This is John Fuller, and on the next Focus on the Family, she was a prodigal child, but God completely changed her life.
20 years later, Yvette Marr chose to offer the grace and forgiveness she experienced to her closest family members. A story of pain and hope on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Weekdays at 9:30 on KFUO Radio.
You can support the ministry of KFUO Radio through a gift annuity. In fact, for a one-time gift of, say, $5,000, you will receive cash payments for life at a guaranteed rate of interest and leave the rest of the remaining value of the annuity to KFUO after the Lord calls you home. If that sounds like a plan for you, contact our gift planning specialist.
Call Joan Harwell at 800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524.
Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, our organization of the week, on AM 850 KFUO Clayton, St. Louis, worldwide at KFUO.org.
AP Radio News. I'm John Belmont. The U.S. is sounding another alarm today about Syria. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says Russia is sending attack helicopters to the Assad regime, warning that the 15-month-old conflict over there could become even deadlier.
We are concerned about the latest information we have that there are attack helicopters on the way from Russia to Syria, which will escalate the conflict quite dramatically.
Appearing with Israeli President Shimon Peres in Washington, Clinton says this is one more roadblock to a peaceful solution to Syria's bloody conflict. More today on the Miami face-chewing attack.
He's been beaten, you said?
He's being another man. It's a naked man.
The one where a homeless man had most of his face chewed off in an attack, sparking calls to 911. The victim is now awake and alert in a Miami hospital. The hospital has released a picture showing Ronald Popo walking down the hall supported by hospital workers. The upper two-thirds of his face is covered in scabs. He's missing his nose, and both eye sockets are covered. A second accuser broke down on the stand this morning at the Jerry Sandusky child sex abuse trial in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania.
The alleged victim told the jury Sandusky kissed him and touched him and performed a sex act on him. He said he didn't know what to do with all the thoughts running through his head and added he blacked out and didn't want it to happen. He froze. Jerry Sandusky didn't visibly react and looked straight ahead during the testimony.
That's our Ed Donahue. Roger Clemens' lawyers have mounted a final assault on the witness who claims he injected the former pitcher with performance-enhancing drugs. Closing arguments underway in Washington today. It's summer. Schools are letting out, but where are the summer jobs? Fewer than 3 in 10 American teenagers now hold temporary jobs, like running cash registers, mowing lawns, or bussing restaurant tables. Employment for them the lowest since World War II. This is AP Radio News.